Hi, listeners, and welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. I'm so excited to welcome today's guest, Days of Our Lives star Patsy Peace, to the show. As I said, Patsy is probably most known for her portrayal of a Kimberly Brady on Days of Our Lives. We'll chat about that and anything else she's been up to. And as always, I have my lovely and talented co-host, Emily, with me. Hey, Em, how are you?
I'm good. Okay, disclaimer really fast. If you're going to call in tonight, please, when you call in, give us your name. And if you're on Twitter, give us your Twitter handle. Because I hate when you guys call in and give us your name, because we can't thank you later. So give us your name.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we can shut up.
and with that, let's go ahead and bring on our special guest, the incredibly sweet, incredibly talented Miss Patsy Peace. Hey, Patsy, how are you?
Oh, my goodness, with an intro like that, I could listen to you talk forever, Cody. Your accent is hypnotic.
I know, hypnotic. I love his accent. I lost my accent. It's kind of tragic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. you know, and I appreciate you stopping by the show today and chatting with us.
Oh, it's fun. I love doing this. This is a lot of fun. So thank you for asking me.
Yeah, thanks for saying yes. You're welcome, Cody. It was my idea. Oops, let me just say
exactly.
That.
Oh, okay. So there we go, Emily. There you go.
It was my idea because I was like, I want to get all of the Brady women on our show eventually. And I was like, Patsy, just join Twitter. Let's go stalk her on Twitter. And
oh,
that.
Good idea. Well, I have that.
So,
I have to thank Jen Lilly for that. Jen Lilly kept after me. No, you have to do this. I said, I don't know how to tweet. I don't know how to Twitter. I don't know how to face space and Twitter chat or whatever it's called. So she says, just come on, you'll learn.
Thank you, Jen. She's been on our show a couple times, too. So she's
Jen
a friend of the show. Thank you, Jen.
Is an absolute doll. There's not
she
enough good things I can say about her.
Me too. I'm telling you, we have more fun. We probably should be arrested for the kind of fun we have. But we haven't so far been arrested.
Well, all right. Now, the first question I had for you is when were you bit by this acting bug?
Oh, I think I was very, very young. I had trouble speaking in public, ironic. A lot of actors start out very shy. And in school, we had to give these weekly reports, and you'd just stand before the class to do it. And my neck would break out into such a red rash that I had to wear turtlenecks, and you couldn't understand me. So I had a very smart teacher say, why don't you try the acting teacher? Maybe she can at least help you get over your fear of public speaking. And I was about 12 years old, and that was one of the best ideas anybody ever had, and it kind of took off from there. It was to overcome fear of speaking in public.
Wow.
Okay. That's so funny that you said that, because when I started high school, when I was a freshman, I signed up for an acting class because I was, like, afraid to talk in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up really liking it, and I took all the acting classes they had, and then I was, like, in theater for, like, until I left that school. And so I'm a senior now, but I was in theater all those years because I started that class just to get over my fear of talking.
So you understand a lot of people do that, and I think about that for a lot of kids to get over the fear. And then if you're a kid like me and you, obviously, Emily, once you get us in there, we can't get off the stage.
Exactly, yeah. I was only planning to take one, and then I really liked it. So I took all the, like, acting technique classes and everything, and I took them all.
Well, doesn't it feel good not to be afraid anymore?
Yes.
I think that feels good, too.
It does. I agree with you. Okay, Cody, go ahead with your questions. We'll stop.
and before we go any further with this, I just wanted to say that I have a lot of respect for what you guys do. because
thank you.
I tried acting classes in college and I failed miserably.
Oh, how can you fail acting, Cody? I don't think you can.
Exactly. That's what I said. That's what I want to know. Because I know you. You're like my best friend. And you, no. That, how did you fail
well,
acting?
Maybe you're being too critical on yourself.
I don't
know.
But I will say this, though. The main reason I took the acting classes is because I'm a writer.
Okay.
I'm actually in the process
Great idea.
Now of writing a book. So, and I've written a couple of screenplays here and there. So that's the main reason I took the acting classes.
I think that's so smart of you. It's so smart. And in fact, some of the directors on Days took acting classes so they'd understand how to come from the point of view of an actor, how to talk
mm-hmm,
to act,
mm-hmm.
And I think to write for actors that way and understanding is wonderful. That's why as an actor I take writing classes.
Right.
You know, so we
right.
can understand each other's perspective because mm-hmm. we're all creating this together.
Exactly, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and along that same line, if you weren't an actor, what would you be right now?
I would be teaching physical therapy. I would be some kind of fitness teacher. When I turned 50, my birthday present to myself was to become certified as a fitness instructor. And I actually started teaching kickboxing lessons at LA Fitness in Los Angeles. I was hired. I fulfilled a dream of mine as I was, you know, running a fitness class with the Madonna mic on. I mean, I thought I had made it. And then you had all these fitness instructors who were, you know, breaking their necks trying to get out there into the acting business. And I was an actress mm-hmm. breaking my neck trying to get into the fitness business.
Fitness world. Right.
definitely. That would be some form of physical therapy.
Awesome. Did you have any questions for Emily?
Yeah, but that's the first time ever that Cody hasn't immediately, like when we started an interview, been like, hey, Emily. And I'm like, what? And yeah, I'm not supposed to go first. So thank you for doing it that way. So I can sit back. Okay. Do you have a favorite storyline favorite storyline that you had as Kimberly on Days?
There were some, I guess, that involved more actors from, I think there were only some that involved just a lot of really, really interesting actors. There would be certain storylines where, you know, you have a lot of actors come on for like 3 days or day players, and they'd be very interesting people, very, very, and then you find out what show they're doing. And they were all, you know, working on their craft, and it was like a shot in the arm kind of, get a reminder about, you know, this craft is going on the outside world too. And it's like people from the outside would come in and go, oh, yes, and there's exciting things happening down at this theater. And it'd be news from the outside. So anything that involved other actors coming in that we hadn't seen in a while or that were doing other projects and would lead us to information about where theater and the acting community were coming together other places, that was always fun for me.
That's awesome. I just started because, you know, it's way before my time was like the 80s, but I like soap from the 80s best. So I just started Days of Our Lives like 1986, and I'm at the point where like Kimberly and Shane's baby gets kidnapped. And so I wanted to watch Steve and Kayla because people kept telling me to do it, and they were harassing me about it, and I thought I'd do it. And then Shane and Kim's baby got kidnapped, so that's what I'm currently watching.
Oh, wow.
Because I wasn't even a thought in 1986. I was kind of, you know, non-existent.
Well, I don't know if you're non-existent. You were floating around somewhere. You just had molecules down together.
Yeah.
I'm telling my age here, but...
That was like 11 years before I was born.
I'm telling my age here, but... And 1986 was the year I was born, so.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're just a couple years older than my eldest son. That's
awesome.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was born in 1907. I had to think about that. That took me a minute. So it's way before my time to go back.
It was. Well, I appreciate you catching up.
some wonderful people who have spent a lot of time putting it all together on YouTube so that it can be viewed.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I really commend the people who have, I mean, there's a lot of us that wouldn't, I mean, the actors that were before YouTube, how did their work get seen in people? If you weren't there during that time, that decade, you missed their work. But now you can start the show in Germany and, you know, Japan, all over the world. And you know, and there's some of us, if we go to places in Australia that just started, we're like celebrities at this time. We're off the show for 20 years, but we're celebrities there now.
Yeah, you know, like some people are really quick on YouTube. Like they put scenes up as soon as the show's over. Like there's this one person, I don't know their YouTube name, but they put up the Carly scenes from General Hospital every single day, and she has the Carly scenes up within 10 minutes of the show ending. And I'm like, how do you do that?
How did you do that? Well, you know, there's people. Well, you have to be technically adept these days, and I mean, I'm not, but I know a lot of people who are like geniuses as far as that goes.
Mhm. Yeah, it's amazing to me that people can do. Cody, are you still alive? No, because my phone's doing this weird thing. I'm on the house phone, and my cell phone doesn't beep when somebody's calling. But somebody is trying to call me, and I know it's a telemarketer, and I'm not answering because it's a 1-800 number.
Well, why don't you answer and ask them if they watch Dares of the Lives?
Yeah, this is like the fourth
time
they called me. Like, yeah. Geez, I don't need your free crap.
But I got a question for you, Mr. Seller of Free Crap. Do you watch Days of Our Lives, by the way?
I would do that to somebody. You think that's a joke, but I would do
that's
it.
That's funny.
You may get rid of a lot of telemarketers that way.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, my God, I'm going to do that now.
The next question I had for you is what initially drew you to the role of Kimberly Brady?
I had no agent. I had no car. I had no family, no friends in Los Angeles. I was broke. I thought my career was over. I had to thumb a ride to get to the audition, Cody. Let's face it, what drew me was I needed a job. I thought it was over. I honestly, in my 20s, I had somehow managed to come to L.A. from New York and get my car stolen. Things just weren't happening for me. An agent dropped me. My boyfriend left. I didn't know anybody here. I didn't have any family here. And I don't know which is worse, to be in Los Angeles without an agent or without a car. But I was without both. And so when I got the call, I went, oh, that's great. How am I going to get there? So I thought, well, good old North Carolina style, and you guys know this. And what you don't know any better, it's not okay to do that in L.A. But good old North Carolina, I went next door to Big Five, and I got me the best pair of tennis shoes I could, and I stuck out my thumb.
Yep.
I was so sweaty when I got to the audition, they had to dry me off with a hairdryer.
That's an awesome story. I love that.
It's true. And I had to catch the bus because, you know, they have you come back over and over and over and over to weed out who they want. And so bus system is great in L.A. I learned how to catch a bus, but I would wait until everybody left so nobody would see me waiting at the bus stop because I was so humiliated that I didn't have a car.
At least you eventually got a car.
Well, Kimberly Brady got me the car.
Exactly.
I owe her so much. She got me an agent back. She got me a car back. She didn't give me a boyfriend, but she got me a lot of other things back in my life.
She had a fictional boyfriend, so you got that.
Oh,
right?
Yes, she did. She did. She did. She even did that. I'm forever grateful to Kimberly Brady.
That's awesome. See, fictional characters are super important in people's lives. I'm telling you guys, not just fiction. Okay, I'm obsessed with fictional characters from all shows, and people think it's crazy, and I'm like, they're a part of my life, too, even if they're not real. See, whatever. Okay, Connie, you can go ahead now.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are you just took a recent trip to Washington, D.C., didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about
that.
Well,
I
there's an organization, I'll give them a shout-out to Cherubs, C-H-E-R-U-B-S, cherubs.org, and it's for babies who have birth defects. Particularly with this organization, it's called Congenital Diaphragmatic Hernia. And I know that's a mouthful, but what it means is that there's a hole in the diaphragm. And so when the baby is born, it doesn't have anything to keep the insides from squishing the lungs. And so it's very dangerous because if the lungs get squished, then the survival rate is lowered. So they need, you know, research and whatnot. And only 50% of these babies survive. And the 50 that do survive usually have a lifetime of surgical needs. So it's a really serious birth defect. So we went to Washington, and I got to tell you something, guys. You know, I don't know. I fell asleep in civics class when I was in high school. So I forgot about the whole process of, like, how does a bill go through? So I went on YouTube, and I found that little cartoon called
Oh,
I Am a Bill.
Cartoon.
I love that thing.
Conjunction. What is your function? Let's go to Washington. And this little green dollar bill, or no, he's a bill. He looks like Gumby, and he's sitting on a bench, and we all go to Washington with this bill, and he goes through how he's passed. Well, I got to tell you, that actually is the most informational record of how you pass a bill through Congress. So I had to go to a children's cartoon to refresh my memory. So having my memory refreshed by YouTube, I felt very comfortable to go into the White House.
I love that little cartoon. I remember that from when I was in, like, fourth grade.
And it's everything.
Yeah,
it tells you everything.
It does. It stuck with me. And every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, I'll go look at the cartoon.
Don't ever feel embarrassed if you go and, you know, your tongue tied. Because I knew, I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be talking to senators and House representatives from North Carolina. I don't even know who those guys are. I don't even know what their function is. I don't know what a conjunction, what is this function, much less their function. So, you know, I got to get some education. So, but
get an education and then sell it.
Yeah, sometimes you just show up. It was a good cause, and I knew that my heart was in the right place. Even though I felt dumb as hell, my heart was in the right place, and actually that was enough. Sometimes just showing up with the right intention is enough. And it taught me a lot of things about not, you know, having to over-prepare, and I've got to sound like this, and I've got to know all that, and I've got to get this impression, and, you know, all that BS. We think we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not tall enough, we're not funny enough. And the not enough had to go out the window because it wasn't about me. It was about these babies, you
right.
see, and that's what it made it okay for me to show up at a place that I didn't really know anything. I mean, I didn't know enough about Washington. I want to now, but at the time I didn't. But I reminded myself, it's not about me. It's not.
Right.
I'm
yeah,
representing
so it's okay to be, you know, out of your zone because it's not.
Exactly.
Not for a good cause.
I was totally out of my comfort zone, but I thought, you know what? It just can't be self-centered. You came here because of something greater than you. These children that need help so badly, they need research, they need funding.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I kept them in mind, I felt totally at home. I was talking, I was laughing with the House representative from North Carolina and had probably one of the best conversations on spirituality, ironically, with Senator Sessions. Standing out there in the hall, and
wow.
I thought, you know what? Who would have thought? And we were talking about things that were very deep and complex, and I didn't realize. So I stopped for a minute. I thought, wait a minute, Patsy, you're talking with a senator. I thought, whoa, that's deep, man. That's heavy, man. Yeah. Oh, this is surreal. You know, golly, we're like going into a different dimension here. standing in the Senate House talking about all these, you know, existential things with this senator. And it's not political. I don't have to know politics to talk to the senator. That was the takeaway. I didn't have to know politics. I had to know I'm interested in humans. I'm interested in you. What kind of barbecue do you like, House Mr. Representative from North Carolina? That's the most important question you can ask the House Representative from North Carolina. It's what's your favorite barbecue? I mean, hello? I bet they don't teach you that in civic school.
Yeah, and you made it out in one piece. That's important to know. See?
Yeah.
You don't have to know politics to talk to politicians.
No, in fact, it's better if you, I think it's better that I didn't, because I would have tried to sound sound impressive. I probably would have tried to sound like I knew what I was talking about, and that always makes you look like a buffoon. So instead, I talked about other things that they were interested in and was interested in them as people, and it turned out so much better. We have wonderful conversations. We enjoyed each other's company, and we got two sponsors to sign the bill to be passed. They both signed for it to be sponsors. Yeah,
That's awesome.
Awesome.
You know, and I totally get what you said about talking to people and what's interesting to them, because that's how I am. I'm a big people person.
Yeah,
if you have a interesting story to tell, tell me. You know, that's exactly how I am.
Listening is, you know, Cody, the listening is sometimes the greatest gift you can give someone.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree 1,000%.
Me too.
And back on this Washington trip for a second, I commend you for doing everything you can for this cause, because I know it's not on the same topic per se, but I've been in a wheelchair my entire life, so I get where you're coming from with that.
Now, what happened, Cody?
A birth defect. I was born with a spina bifida.
Oh, honey, God bless you. And yet you're not letting that stop you. You're getting out there and communicating with the world something that you love and sharing with other people what they love and giving them a chance to connect with characters that they love on the show. It's kind of like you brought everybody together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
You know,
what you love. That just makes me happy, because we're such close friends, and we've become close friends since I joined the show. And Cody just, like, does everything he can to make the listeners of the show and the people who read the blog and the Twitter and everything. He just does so much to make everyone happy and brings the people they want to see on the show, and it just makes me very happy.
Well, I guess I respect that so much, Cody, and you're another example. Well, I'll tell you the real answer to your question about going to Washington is, why did I get involved in the organization with children with birth defects in the first place, is my youngest son was born with arthrogryposis, and that's another mouthful. But what that means is every connective tissue in his body is restricted, so none of his joints straighten out. So he had that diaphragmatic hernia was one of the things that he almost died when he was born. Mm-hmm. So they repaired that when he was 11 hours old. That was his first surgery.
Wow.
And for the next 15 years, he had a surgery every single year for 15 years. And on his 15th birthday, they nailed a steel rod to his entire spine. Now, that all sounds very, very, you know, traumatic, and it was. I'm not going to minimize it. It was.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on – I had a pediatrician who was wonderful tell me, he says, don't you ever let your son see pity in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the most disrespectful thing you can do to a person is pity them. Because what you're saying mm-hmm. is, what I got going on is better than what you got going on.
Right.
My life is better than yours. He said, so I realized there is a horrible thing about going, I pity someone. He says, the worst thing you can do to another person was to respect his strengths. He said, focus mm-hmm. on his strengths, not his weaknesses. So I said, okay, mm-hmm. what if I put him in martial arts? He said, great, whatever you think you can do. Well, I put that kid in martial arts when he was 5 years old. And for the next 7 years, he went to, between surgeries now, with casts on his legs, with splints on his legs and his arms in slings, with his eyes one patched and then the other. In between surgeries, he still showed up. And he taught me a lot about just showing up, not worrying about what other people think. It's none of their business. It's none of my business what anybody else. He just showed up, and he got a black belt by the time, and he was 12 years old.
Wow.
My son, who has no connective tissue that works in his body, not in his entire body, he can't straighten out, got a black belt. So that's
impressive.
No excuses. I have no excuses anymore for anything. So that's why I commend you, too, because it's another example to me of our limitations are in our mind. And I got to tell you something. The biggest handicap to me is what's in my mind.
Right. Exactly.
That's
you know,
so true.
And while it's confession time here on the show, I'll go ahead and say this. I don't look at my situation as a disability per se. I look at it as a ability and an opportunity, you know.
Wow, I got chills. I just want to, I just want to applaud you for that because, and I think it's important that you tell people this because it puts it into perspective. You know, we come in, we go, oh, you know, this part of my life's not working, and that part, and we start complaining, and then we hear, you know, you speak about you're looking at this from a perspective of opportunity, and we feel like healed, and we go, oh, just shut up. My God, look at this guy. That is so amazing. I have nothing to complain about. I'm just going to shut my mouth.
You know,
and I'm so glad because you probably shut a lot of people up.
Yeah,
well, I don't know about that, but...
oh, no, you go, Cody. You go. You go around shutting people
up.
You go.
Yeah, exactly, Cody. I'll just echo everything. I'll just sit back.
I think that'll about do it for my questions. If you had anything else you wanted to ask Graham, go ahead.
Okay, well, I have one more question, but do we have callers? Because we need to take them if they've been waiting on the line.
We have no callers.
Okay, just making sure, because I don't want them to get in the way because I talk so much. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's see. All right, if you could meet any famous person, dead or alive, who would you choose and why?
Oh, wow. I think, I don't know, this is the first person that came to my mind, and I don't even know how you know, passionate I feel about this, but Susan Hayward just seems, I remember watching her as a kid, and there's something about the fire in her that her and Barbara Stanwyck, and I mean, they may have been beasts as people, I don't know, but there was something about the fire that they exuded from their acting. It was a strength, and I think I was drawn to that of, I think I needed to feel that, and I wondered, how do you feel so confident like these actresses are portraying? That's amazing. I wonder how they do that. So I started, they made me think about how do you get strong? Isn't that funny? How actresses can do that?
Yeah, you know, I know what you mean, you know. It's happened to me. Yeah,
really?
That's a good choice. Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. If it was me, okay, I know who I would pick in a heartbeat. I would pick Princess Diana, even though she died before I was born. I love her.
Yeah.
I've read every book about her. I don't know. There's something about her that just really inspires me, and I would love to have met her. Of course, she was a princess, and I was an egg at the time. But whatever.
Well, but you know, but you're talking about being inspired, and of course, that's kind of like the crux of it, isn't it? We want to meet the people who inspired us because we like how we feel around them.
Exactly.
How about you, Cody? Is there anybody that you'd like to meet? I'm asking you Emily's question.
It's okay.
If I had to say, I'm a big sports fan, so probably Vince Lombardi.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even think of anybody sports related. Good luck.
Totally.
Probably Lombardi. Because, oh. I mean, I'm a big football fan. So,
oh,
and to meet the man
I
that took the Packers.
Because I am, too.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Wow. He transformed them, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I think that's probably about all the time we've got. So, again, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to take 30 minutes out of your day to come and chat with us. And I just have to tell you this right now. I've listened to a couple more interviews you've done or whatever. But you, my friend, inspire me.
Oh, my God. Cody, I'm going to cry. Thank you so much. It's kind of funny because maybe we have a mutual inspiration. So I'm crying. And this is so good. I mean, because I think you guys and your enthusiasm and your positivity and your joy is contagious. And I really feel it. And you know what? And Cody, your story is going to stay with me. That's a gift that you gave me, and I want to thank you for that. I will take very good care of that gift.
I appreciate it, Patsy. And
we've got to stop before Emily cries, because I can cry easily, and
yeah,
then
me
I won't
too.
Cry. Go on, baby. Go on now. Everybody, just get this out. It's going to be a therapy session.
You know, and you have an open invitation back to the show anytime you want to come on, and we'd love to have you back again,
back.
Okay?
I'd love to.
I
know. I'm going to say, can we make a pact? Like, when any one of us has a problem that we can't seem to work out, let's just call each other and go, can we do the show again?
Yes, we'll totally do it. Absolutely.
That's a deal.
I'm
that's
in.
A deal.
Right, thank
Patsy,
you, guys.
I think I'm going to let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay?
I appreciate this. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She almost made me cry a time or two.
Oh, my gosh. I'm over here. Shut up. I'm going to cry. That was so much fun. I love her. I already love
that
her.
That was kind of incredible,
her.
Wasn't it? You know.
I know.
You know,
that was such a fun
that
show.
That show ranks up there as one of my favorites. Absolutely one of my favorites.
Yeah, I don't know. That might kick the Mary Beth show. Sorry, Mary Beth, I love you, but that might kick the Mary Beth show
kick
off the
you
top
out.
Of my list. Oops.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that was fun. Okay, now I'm all almost shocked.
I'm laughing tears over here almost.
Well, I know, but you can cry at the drop of a hat, and so can I. And she started crying. I was like, don't do this to me. Not today. I cried yesterday.
Not now. Not now. Please not now. Anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Well, we've cried on air before. I think we both cried at the 50th show thing that we did?
The 50th, I think it was.
Cried, so it's okay.
I most definitely cried at 50th. I most definitely cried at that. So.
Yeah, we both did. And then some people that called us, I think somebody that called us was crying, so they've heard us cry before. They're probably sick of our emotionalness on this show.
Probably.
They're probably
sick of us. You know how I go back and listen to shows sometimes? This show is most definitely.
I don't listen to them because I'm critical of myself. And I don't listen to the ones we've done. The only one I really listen to, I've listened to our first ever show, and then I listened to the one where we were, like, throwing a party because I was joining the show, and we're, like, Kathleen and Lily and Celia all called. And I listened to the Mary Beth Evans show and the Anna Roberts show, but I don't listen to them because I, like, criticize them. I'm going to go get happy now because I'm all, like, and jeez, that was intense. I mean, it was good intense, though. I'm not down in it.
It was good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
it was good.
You know, and I've never admitted that on any show I've ever done. I've never admitted about my spina bifida. I never admitted
that. I didn't know because I always wanted to know, but I didn't want to pry. I know that you hadn't said anything.
I get that.
And I was really curious, but I didn't want to pry. So I never asked, so I don't have to because somebody else did.
Right. You know, and that's the thing I love about these stars that come on. They're just,
so fun. 99%
of the time, they're just
normal.
me as an interviewer, they pull stuff out of you, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, she just was such a wonderful person, and we all just sort of, you know, it worked. And, you know, I love that she said if we all have a problem, we can all just have group therapy and call each other. I just love that.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to stop before we start crying.
Yes, we do. I think
right,
I'm going to...
Well, we have one announcement. We have a show tomorrow night, 5 Central.
Yes, we do.
Okay, guys, I moved to a Central time zone, so I'm no longer going to give you guys Eastern time. I have to learn my time zone.
It's 5 Central.
We have a show tomorrow night, 5 Central. And we don't have a show next week scheduled yet, but we'll let you know. If we don't schedule guests for Tuesday night, Cody and I are going to play the co-host version of the Newlywed Game.
Oh, God.
So that should be interesting.
This could get interesting.
Exactly. I think it would be super fun. So,
yeah,
thank you, everyone, for an announcement. We'll let you guys know.
Yeah. I think with that, I'm going to let you go, and I'll be talking to you later, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. I hope you guys enjoyed our emotional interview with Dead Days of Our Lives, Patsy Pease. Patsy is a wonderful woman. And so sweet and so just down to earth, it's not even funny. I really enjoyed chatting with her. Since Emily told you about our show tomorrow night, I think I'm going to end the episode here. You've been listening to A Week Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.